From Bayside Church International, Victor Harbour, this is Chad Mansbridge.
Look, one of my primary roles as a lead pastor or visionary leader or whatever term seems to suit me most is to give voice or to vocalize, to give vocabulary, to establish a vernacular around our vision, our values, and our ventures as a church family. Thank you very much. Vision is really where we're going. Values are how we go about life together. This is how we do it. These are our core non-negotiable values. These are the things that matter to us. Vision's where we're headed. Values is how we go about things. And our ventures is what it actually looks like, who's involved and what it looks like in reality. Part of my job is to vocalize those things and give vernaculars to those things. And speaking about vision for a church is something that, depending on the leader and their bent, sometimes people do new every year. This is my vision for 2016. This is my vision for 2017. For me, I don't operate like that. For me, a vision, and many people have said before, is simply your picture of your preferred future. A vision is something you can see, right? See, I can see something, I have a vision. But a vision, when you're talking about us moving forward into something, it is a picture of a positive and preferred future. And at the end of the day, that really never changes. In one word, because I always like to keep things simple, our vision is simply Jesus. Okay, so that doesn't change this year. It's not different. When the scriptures say this, Mal read from Hebrews earlier, but Hebrews 12 says this. It says, since then you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness. Throw off everything that entangles, everything that hinders you, and the sin that so easily entangles. And then it says, so that you may with perseverance run the race marked out for you. Verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Vision is about fixing your eyes on something. When you're running a race, when you're moving forward, what is it you're fixing your eyes on? You're fixing your eyes on the finish line. You're fixing the eyes on the prize. Ultimately, the prize of the race is Jesus. That's what we're fixing our eyes on. We're fixing our eyes on Him, who is both the author and the perfecter of our faith. I spoke the other week about Jesus being both the cornerstone and the capstone. He is both the foundation and the pinnacle. He is both the beginning and the end. He is both the Alpha and the Omega. And the author of Hebrews is saying, fix your eyes on Him who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. So it's like Him saying, listen, I want you to look back and remember Jesus started this race. And look back at what He did. But don't just look back at Him, look forward for Him, because that's where you're headed. You're actually fixing your eyes on Him as you're moving forward. So whether it's backward, whether it's forward, or whether it's right now, we are focusing and fixing our eyes on Him. That's what a vision is. It's a picture of a preferred future, and our vision's not changed. It's following, focusing firmly on Jesus. So Paul says to the Corinthians, I want you to fix your eyes on things that are not seen. Don't fix your eyes on the things that are clearly visible in this physical world. No, he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter something. He says, let's fix, it's on the screen, there it is. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen on this planet is temporary, but what's unseen is eternal. Ultimately, our vision is not just something for tomorrow, it's something for eternity. That's what really counts. It's an eternal vision, and that's why Jesus is always our vision. How simple is that? Okay, too simple, maybe so, but that's where we need to start. That core value, that thing never changes. Jesus is the picture of our preferred future. As we look into our future, we see more of Him. What do you want to look like into the future? I want to look more like Jesus. What do you see more into the? Well, I see more of Jesus. As you look in the future, what are you hoping to? Well, I'm hoping for more of Jesus. He is our vision. But I'm also very aware that Habakkuk chapter 2 gives a great practical Habakkuk. All right, whatever, you can ask him. I don't care. You can ask him one day. Habakkuk, that guy. God gives him some wisdom about what to do when God gives you a vision. And he says in Habakkuk 2 verse 2, he says, now that you've seen something, I want you to write it down and make it plain so that other people who hear it can run with it. so that other people, so you've seen something now, write it down, make it plain, make it easy, make it simple, make it understandable, so that he who holds it can run with it. And so part of my job is to, while saying Jesus is our vision is absolutely true, there's also a potential sense of vagueness about that for a large group of people. So this is what we say. When we say that our vision is Jesus, in practical reality, it means this. It means to both know him and to show him. Come on, you're part of Bayside. These things should rattle off your tongue, shouldn't they? We get this from John 17, where Jesus prays to the Father and he says, Father, this is eternal life. This is the big picture that goes forever, that they may know you. That they may know you and that they may know Jesus. That is the big picture of eternity, to know him. And then he says, on this earth I've brought you glory by showing you to others. I've brought you glory by revealing your name to others. And so when we say our vision is Jesus, we mean our vision is to know him. And on this earth, as long as we're here, it's to show him to other people. Someone might say, well, our vision should be to serve Jesus. Well, that is true, but serving is only an outworking of first knowing him as your king. So you need to know him as king. That's more important. Once you know him as king, then serving comes. Well, surely, Chad, our vision is to worship him. Yeah, but you only worship him truly when you first know him as God eternal. So ultimately, you need to know him as God to then naturally and normally worship him. All those things are just practical outworkings of ultimately knowing him. How many of you, does that resonate in your heart? You go, you know what? I want to know him. I want to know him. Paul says that to the Philippians. He says, he talks about moving on, and not that I've already been made perfect or already achieved everything I need in life, but this one thing I do, I press on. He says, I want to know Christ. He was a man who knew Jesus, suffered for his name, traveled the world for him, preached the gospel. He knew Jesus, but he said, all I want to do is know him. Peter says the same, 2 Peter 3 something, and he says, I want you to grow in the knowledge of him. Please don't be satisfied with the measure of how well acquainted you are with Jesus, because there is more to him. There is greater depths, there are greater heights, there is greater breadth to know him. And not just know about him, head knowledge, but know him, to actually know his voice, know his leading, know his presence, to know him. Ultimately, that is the purpose of every human being that exists today, is to know him, because it's the only thing that counts forever. Amen. We want to be a people that know him. And as long as we're on this earth, we want to be a people who show him to others, because revealing him, representing him, demonstrating his nature, his qualities, his attributes, demonstrating the power, the life of God, is something that is our great high calling. So we want to know and to show Jesus, and help make a vision statement more, I guess, understandable by people outside the church. We elaborate a little bit more and we say this. We want to know and show God's love, truth, and life. Because ultimately, Jesus is God's love personified, isn't he? Jesus is God's love. Jesus is truth. He is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? He is love, he is truth, he is life. And so the statement we use as a church is, we want to know. Why do we exist? Our purpose, our vision is to both know and to show God's love, his truth, and his life. That's how we articulate that. Our vision is Jesus. What does that mean? Well, it means to know and to show God's love, God's truth, and God's life, because that is who Jesus, in a very simple way, what Jesus represents for us. So that's how we say that. Does that make sense? But one thing I do want to... vision, of course, then is all about increasing in these things. As I said about before, we want to grow in our knowledge. And what I want to start doing more and more, and a word I want to introduce more and more into our vocabulary as the church, is the word grow. As we're looking forward, we're not just knowing Him, but we're growing in our knowing of Him. As we're moving forward, we're not just showing Him. No, no, we're growing in our showing of Him. I want to demonstrate more of who Christ is this year than I did last year. Yeah, I want to know Him more than I did last year, and I want to demonstrate Him in more of His attributes than I did last year. And I want to do that with you. So it's not just knowing and showing, but it's knowing, growing, and showing. All right? We want to increase in that. Let me turn back the time a little bit. In September last year, we had a Friday night here, one of our in-house culture carrier evenings. And it was in September, and it just had occurred to me, both Jay and I separately, that September was our 15th birthday as a church, which didn't really, in a sense, hold any... No, it wasn't. It was our 14th. And it didn't really, in a way, hold any significance to us. I mean, 14's not a big party number, right? 10, maybe 15, 21, 40. Okay. Oh, God, I'm going to be there soon. Okay, 40. And then... Don't laugh, 60. And then naughty. Anyway, it was our 14th birthday, and we thought, well, okay, that's not really that significant. Let's don't make a big deal of Baselite's birthday being 14. That's not that big a deal. But then it occurred both to Jane and I, hang on, 14 years mean it's the end of 14 years, and 14 is 2 7-year cycles, which means we're about to begin our third 7-year cycle. It's the start of our 15th year, and it's the start of our third 7-year cycle. And you might think, oh, that's a little bit super spiritual, Chad, you're just a bit too much into numbers. What's interesting, of course, in the Hebrew calendar this year is that the Hebrew year is 5777 is this year, 5,000, because they don't, the Hebrew calendar doesn't exist on when Christ came for some reason, okay? So they don't start 2000, they don't start then. They go way back. 5777 is the year that we are currently in. So yes, 3 sevens are very important. And so what we did is we submitted that to a group of core people in this church on a Friday night. We said, listen, why don't we hear God together and see, has Chad eaten too much pizza and is just making something up about the 15th year? Or could there be something significant? What is it that God is wanting to say to us as we move into our 15th year? Let's not make something up, but let's see what it is that God will bring to us. And we had a number of prophetic contributions that came out that night in September that I've been looking through again lately. We had a lot of words regarding increase, both in maturity, people talking about growing up, increase in momentum as we move forward, and things like authority and freedom and capacity. We had pictures coming out, different people having images, visions, pictures of things like police in training. Someone saw an army growing out of good soil. Other people have visions of things like coins and cogs and fishermen, and it doesn't make sense as I'm just explaining it like this, but every one of them had specific meaning and outworking that evening. Many of the words that came out carried a sense of healthy balance, where people were saying, I see this and this. So I see authority and freedom together. It was grace, but police that were trained in grace and kindness. Not that they're opposites there, Hannah. Of seeing high-capacity people effecting and doing things because they're high-capacity, but on the other hand, very, very ordinary people getting involved as cogs in a wheel. And it finished with someone seeing a vision of the Mona Lisa, and which, of course, they consulted Holy Google. What does that mean? And in the searching, of course, in the Mona Lisa, the word Renaissance came out. And Renaissance talks about new beginnings or new birth or rebirth and new life. What was interesting, as someone then highlighted to me the following days, is that the Renaissance took place or really came to the fore in most of Europe in the early 1500s. The Mona Lisa was painted in 1503 and finished in about 1517. Took a long time. A lot of coats on that thing here. Yeah? So it took about 12 years to paint, but it was in the early 1500s. Martin Luther, in a spiritual sense, the Reformation started taking place in the early 1500s. And so my job then, after listening to these type of prophetic contributions, is to do exactly what Habakkuk says. To say, okay, you've heard something, you've seen something as a community. Now listen, try to put a vernacular to this so that there can be some type of clarity and you can give people something to say, let's focus on this as a theme moving into the year. Otherwise, things are a bit vague. Do you understand? So that's kind of my job. I now need to go to my secret place and I need to pray and say, God, speak to me and give me a way to communicate what is on your heart in a way that is clear and makes sense to people as we head into 2017 and beyond. It's not that our vision has changed, because our vision is Jesus, but something of a prophetic theme and thrust that we can focus on and massage in into church life into the year. And so that's what I now want to speak about, and then I'll continue to do that over the next few weeks. Okay? Here's what we came up with. We being me and Holy Spirit. Okay, you had a part to play. Yep. No, simply that's right. If our vision in one word is Jesus, our theme moving into this next season, and I'm not just putting a calendar year on it, but our theme moving forward for now is also one word, and it's the word grow. Grow. Like I said to you before, we've often spoken about knowing and showing, but more and more introducing the word grow into our vernacular, that this is something of the theme God is wanting us to focus on. Jono, can you put that up? Here's some artwork we've had done. When we talk about growing, we're talking about growing down, growing with, growing out, and growing up. Growing down, growing with, growing out, and growing up. Today, at the start of 2017, in a sense, I want to urge and encourage you, us as a community, but you as an individual, to commit yourself to grow. I've done a bit of that over Christmas already. Commit yourself to grow. I want to ask you to commit yourself to grow down. I want to ask you to commit yourself to grow with. I want to ask you to commit yourself to grow out. I'm going to ask you to commit yourself to grow up. Aww. Growing down is simple. And the image of a tree, I guess, makes that very plain. I've spoken about this before. But growing down is about going deeper. Putting roots down into good soil is one of the images that came out that night. Growing down is about going deeper, and it's about being grounded in the love and lordship of Christ. I want you to commit yourself to growing down. A greater grounding, go deeper into the things of Christ, deeper into Him as your foundation. As Tony Rainbow shared at Church Together last Sunday, in every season, in every storm, in every situation, He is the one that never changes. Put your roots down. Grow down into Him. Because He is the only thing that is certain. Grow down. Amen? I want you to grow down. That's about being grounded. G, grow, grounded. Secondly, I want you to commit in your heart to growing with. We're going to be talking about the wonderful reality that God has placed us with community, in community, amongst community. God has not called you to go on a journey on your own. Sometimes it seems that you will. We might talk about that as well. But God has called you to grow with people and to monitor, to be aware, and to be intentional as to who you are doing life with. Some of us at the start of a new year, we audit different things. We audit the way we spend our money. We audit the way we spend our remote control time or screen time. We audit the way we spend our nighttime energies. We audit the way that we spend our weekends. Some of us also, from time to time, need to audit the way we spend time with different types of people. It's not a negative thing. You can do that in a very positive way. But we need to be aware of those that we are doing life with. We need to be conscious that we are growing with. And the wonderfully hopeful, positive connotation of that is that God has put amazing people around you. And some people we need to be a little bit more intentional about growing with, which is why some of you starting Connect Group this year that's exactly what I need this year. Thank you. I'm glad you announced that today, because I know God wants me to grow with certain people. That might be true for you. Whatever it is, we want to talk about growing with. And the R for grow stands for relationships, because growing with is about growing stronger as we relate together with people with one heart and one purpose. Okay, so we're going to talk about relationships and growing with. I want to encourage you, I want to urge you, I want to ask you this year to commit yourself to growing with people. Amen. Leanne, yeah, Grandma says okay? Okay. You've chosen a beautiful tree, a beautiful young tree there to sit with today. Do I get those points back, Irene? No. growing with. Thirdly, I want to encourage you to grow out. As we've done our Acts series over the last 2 years, the book of Acts tells a wonderful story about the outward influence of the church. If about growing with, it's growing with people, we get stronger as we're together. Growing out speaks about having an outward focus and about growing and increasing in our spread and our influence. I mentioned last year, and this is just in one sense a little thing, but literally this year already we know that we will reach and touch the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. Okay, we know that already. We've got something lined up in March, in Easter, where we will be on TV screens ministering to over 1 million homes. So I'd rather be conservative and say hundreds of thousands of people will be influenced by the ministry of this church. And I want all of us to take on board that sense of, I'm growing out to increase my influence. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven growing out, he described it like a tree where the birds of the nest come. Yeah, so we want to grow out, not physically, that was all joking, but about growing out as far as influence grows. That's about going wider. We talked about going deeper, stronger, now wider, as we bless many others beyond our borders. So the G stands for grounded, R is relationships, and O is about being others focused or outward focused. And lastly, as I'm asking you to commit yourself to growing down, with, out, I also want to ask you to commit yourself to growing up. Deeper, stronger, wider, and higher. And growing up is not all about maturity and character, because maturity is not just about character. Maturity is all about being like Jesus. And the same Jesus that operated wonderfully in character was also the same Jesus that operated radically in the supernatural, radically in the spirit realm, radically in mystic encounters, radically in heavenly awareness. Depending on your background or your bent or whatever, if I say to you, what does it look like to be Christ-like? Some people will focus, well, and rightfully so, but we'll talk about his relational strength, honest, integrous, kind, gentle, servant-hearted. And to all that, we say, amen. Amen. But it's equally true to say, what does it mean to be Christ-like? Oh, it means to be radical. It means to be passionate. It means to say, no one's been to heaven except the one who's gone to heaven and been in heaven, and I'm in heaven right now, and the only things I say from the Father, and by the way, get up off your mat and walk, and by the way, we can feed 5,000 people with 2 loaves and no fish, no problems, and by the way, Peter, come walk through the water on me, and by the way, I saw you sitting under the fig tree, yeah, when I was way over there, and by the way, go into town, and there'll be a man there with a donkey who'll lead you upstairs, and by the way, I can move in the Spirit of God seamlessly, and supernaturally, and both those things are Christ-like. They're not opposites, they're just the deal. This is just who Jesus is. And so growing up, don't just think in terms of character. We are also a community of heavenly-minded people. Growing up, because that's generally what trees do. And those of you who've got vines and other things, you know, what do those plants do? They are searching for to get as close to the light as they can. So in most cases, that means shooting up, because our vision, fixing our eyes on Jesus. So I want to, you to commit yourself this year to growing up. And of course, that touches maturity, but I don't want you to only think that. I want you to see us as growing higher as mature and heavenly-minded worshippers. And that's another thing I want to focus on this year, and certainly the heart of our worship team. We often speak about our identities. It's absolutely core to us as a church to operate out of our identity. And one of our core identities that we have as a church is that we are a community of worshippers. People who worship God. It's what we're going to be doing for eternity. One of the things we're going to be doing for eternity. We're going to do that now. We worship Him. Yeah? So we are worshippers. And it also makes the W in grow, so I kind of had to come up with that. I'd like you to commit yourself this year to grow. That we would become more and more a grounded, relationally strong, others-focused community of worshippers. That we would grow down, we'd be intentional about who we're growing with, we would grow out in our influence, and we will grow up as we fix our eyes on Him. I like the fact that this picture and those acronyms and those words, again, like the other week when I preached, actually, Kim, you better get your worship team up to stop me. It starts with being grounded in Him. In between, we have our relationship with people, and it ends with our focus on Him. Again, cornerstone, capstone, foundation, pinnacle, beginning, and the end. Our vision never changes. We are called to know Jesus in ever-increasing measure, to grow in our knowing of Him, and to grow in our showing of Him. And I trust that that resonates with you, that this is something I'll give my life for. That's why I exist, to know and to show Him. But for this year, as a bit of a theme or a focus, I want to ask you to commit yourself to grow, because I believe that will encapsulate something of what God's prophetic impetus on us is on us for this time moving forward. Does that make sense? Have I been not excited enough too? Do you need Rob Moores to get a bit more pumped about that? Okay. Well, why don't we worship Him? You do that and then I'll pray for you. And thanks, team. Actually, why don't you do this? Before you stand up, on your feet as a planting of the Lord. Isaiah says you are a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. As you stand on your feet, why don't you just stand and see your roots going deep down into Christ? See your roots going down into His lordship, down into His love, down into His name, down into Him as your bedrock. We have an anchor for our soul and we are anchored in Christ. And from there, we can grow with others. Be aware of those who are with you. We can grow out and we'll focus our eyes heavenward. So in your own time, say, whatever this means for me, Lord, I put my roots down and I stand on Christ and I put my roots into You today. As we move forward together, why don't you, in your own time and as loud as your faith will allow your feet to do it, why don't you stand and put your roots down? And you guys can focus us heavenward.
This has been a podcast from Bayside Church International. Thanks for listening.